All right. All right, now we are going back to Spider-Man Far From Home. Mm-hmm. The previous podcast we did was because at the time Fierce has watched it first, I have mm-hmm. not. But luckily I managed to watch it with Ada, and right now we can go full on spoilers. So before we continue, as we mentioned, this podcast will be full on spoilers for
spoilers.
So if you guys have not watched it and you don't want to be spoiled with the details we are about to speak of, please
then
turn away
don't
now.
Follow this particular guy on.
So, all right,
fucking Sunbe.
Sunbe. Gotta tell the guys about this, man. Anyway, okay, so Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yes.
Last we talked about it, you did give a quite high rating. Was it an 8 or 8 something?
8.5.
Okay.
And, but the only thing that I didn't like about the Zendaya, but other than that, it was okay for me.
All right, let's talk about it a little bit. Like,
Before we go into it, what about you? If, let's say, we do a non-spoiler short rating, like very short review, what would you say about the movie?
Rating, I will give it a flat 8.
Mm-hmm.
There are things which I like more stuff about it than anything that annoys me. There are things which kind of like maybe don't have to put it in there lah. The why I give it a flat out 8, coming back to full on spoilers. Number one is I try to understand why you kind of like dislike the character of Mary Jane in this rendition of the Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree on certain things, like Mary Jane, this version of Mary Jane, she how they wrote her character is that she tries to be a street smart kind of a character, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I like the Mary Jane in the previous Homecoming version, but for the Far From Home, it felt like as though like it's a bit forced. Like, you know, some people naturally, if they are street smart, you can see it's natural, but this one is forced. It's trying to force the idea, like, hey, I'm the tough person here. Like, I know I'm very intelligent. And she also did mention, like, you know, she tried to put this front, like she's that kind of a person, and she constantly lies about it. You know, Mary Jane did explain herself of why she's like that, because there are times where she let her guard down and you know, talks to Peter Parker, like, why she's like that. So, and then she reverts back to that annoying, like, forced street smart thing, which I kind of like, you didn't have to write her like that. You know, if you want to tell people like she's street smart, you just go all the way as part of the natural thing. I think the transition for her being from street smart to a very insecure person wasn't done pretty well. But overall, she's okay. Only that trait kind of like, could have done better. And the other part, I guess, they still want to shove the Skrulls into the movie. Like, that one to me, like made me like, huh? The ending part where Nick Fury is actually not Nick Fury. Big spoiler.
Oh, yeah, the last part, right?
I was like, huh? They still want to put this fellow inside. I was like, these are the two things that kind of like, that to me felt like it didn't need to be there.
Yeah, that I guess I agree with you with the Skrull part, because that happens during the end and mid credit scenes. And right at the end credit scenes.
Yeah, correct.
And the thing is, you know, after such a journey with the whole Marvel Phase 1, 2, and 3, and, you know, Avengers Endgame, you know, at the end of, like, an end credit, you should give something more for the like the next phase to begin, instead of the fact that, oh, it's just the Skrulls, it's not even them, and Nick Fury is having a holiday on the Skrull ship or something, like that, you know?
Yeah, it's like it's like a waste time, you know.
Yeah, it's so, like a waste time. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the mid credit scenes, that one, I said it was. I mean, I like the idea of the mid credit scenes, and it was nice to see Jameson back again, J.K. Simmons.
Hey, Salah, bro, when that scene happened, I was like, hey, yeah. You're back.
From Marvel, jump to DC, then come back to.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're gonna permanently absorb him into Disney or not. I don't know. Like right now,
I think they would, no, because the thing is now, like after like Batman vs Superman, shit is kind of getting bad for DC. So, and even like, Justice League and all.
Like, yeah, for him coming, like you have like Robert Downey Jr. the face of Iron Man, and then with Tom Holland working his ass off to be the face of Spider-Man. Before any of those guys got their roles and people like can't see anybody else playing those characters, J.K. Simmons is the Jonah Jameson for a long time.
Yeah, he is.
And like how he portrays himself is exactly the same version as the Spider-Man animated TV series. Like, basically the same. It's amazing for him to come back, and like I really love that, like that touch they put into the movie. And I guess like I said, that there are more things that I like about than the things I like about the movie. And CGI,
I think. Oh yeah, you were asking me about CGI the other time. What do you think about you?
I think the CGI. Definitely follows the standard Marvel formula, which is like, I'm just gonna compare how Marvel does things and how DC does things and how the Transformer series does things. Okay, when Marvel does their CGI, there's a lot of things happening, and at least right, you know what is happening in all the chaos, in all the fight scenes, this and that. So the CGI Marvel does it cleanly enough for you to see and like understand, you know, what's happening, so your peripheral vision is adaptable to it. For DC, it's because they got this stupid filter and their CGI is pretty bad lah. It's like a bit B-rated lah in some, so they have that, and they have very stupid dark filter thing going on, which I don't know why they keep on doing it. And because of this filter, right, it sometimes make it like I mean, have you seen the Death Love Robot series?
Yeah, I did.
You saw the standard, right? Like you see, like there's a clean scene where you know CGI, but then it blurs the line between what is real and what is not.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm trying to say for DC, right, because they have this stupid filter going on, you make it look like it's a PlayStation 2 CG scene, and which is like, I mean, it's a movie, it's a live action scene. If you want to try to make a CGI fight scene, right, like try to make it better lah. Like, you know, I don't know whether they got a budget constraint compared to Disney or what lah, you know, maybe like right to Star Wars, but DC has this problem and they have yet to get it fixed, especially when
you can see Swamp Thing, 40 million.
Yeah, like if a TV series, right, of that caliber can do practical and CGI effects combined together, so
yeah, exactly,
awesomely good, right? The movie section people, I don't know, and then
you know DC tries to do that whole dark theme and whatnot, but I think so far Swamp Thing has put it off very well.
Yeah, and I have yet to follow up on like the later episodes on something, but I saw segments of the, I mean, something like fully formed out as like Swamp Thing. He looks good, Sial.
He looks damn good. I actually watched the episode where he became Swamp Thing, so like, he was really, really good.
Like, holy smokes, like, why they can't do that in the movies? makes me question all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other comparison is that the Transformer movies, like bloody shit, yeah. Like the Michael Bay version of Transformers, like there's so many explosions, you don't know what's happening, you know, yeah, like your periphery vision, like when you look at it, hey, what's happening? Like explosion.
Michael Bay should be renamed Duke Kaboom, not Keanu Reeves in the Toy Story.
Siala, Duke Kaboom, the bloody video game, like the luckily for Marvel. They don't have this problem. Like, if Marvel had a Michael Bay fight scene,
oh my god,
it would have been so bad, no? Especially when Mysterio is like so-called fighting the elementals, like it could have been very bad. So luckily CGI for Spider-Man Far From Home does not have that problem. So
The one thing about Marvel is they make it as realistic as they can be, you know what I mean? They don't like, you know, like DC Dark and all, or Mr. Duke Kaboom, Transformers type. You know?
So. Duke Kaboom, yeah. Well, okay. But yeah, luckily CGI, Spider-Man does not do anything too bombastic. They follow the formula and it's quite pleasing. I know I'm not talking in a sense where I'm a special effects guru or anything, but for me, the common guy, and like for you, I definitely agree.
We are more the common person, you know, neutral, you know.
It's pleasing enough, like to know what's happening scene by scene.
You know what's the funny thing? Even, you know, if you go on Instagram or like any sort, always have the Game of Thrones game that they advertise and all. Mm-hmm. Even those CGI are really good there.
Like the desktop game, right, for the Game of Thrones. Yeah, I saw like every time promoting on YouTube. I mean that kind of level, like, I mean sometimes DC, I don't know, like they're lazy ke apa, I don't know, talent but it's pretty.
But thankfully, like, I don't know, did Aquaman had that dark theme to it? I don't think so, right?
Aquaman, Aquaman definitely did not had the dark vibes. It was trying to create a world building kind of a story as well, just like how they did it for Wonder Woman. Surprisingly, Aquaman visually CGI is a step better than Justice League by far, especially when Aquaman was fighting
Black Manta
during one of the house scene. That scene, choreography was done quite well, which was surprisingly, like, finally they did something like that, so I was quite pleased with that. So other than CGI, Spider-Man story wise pretty decent. I wouldn't say it's trying to be doing something beyond it. Like, it did follow a certain formula, like they introduce a villain, and I like the part where they try to introduce the idea of the multiverse, even though, spoiler alert, there's no multiverse.
There's no multiverse, yeah.
Let me try to find, because he did mention one of the Earth alternate multiverse, which, what was it, Earth 833, I think. Let me see. Because in one of the comics, in the multiverse, there is a Earth 833. But I can't remember which timeline was it. Because in Marvel, they did a lot of multiverses, and 833 was a version where I can't remember, did it involve X-Men or anything? I need to read back on it. Earth 33 did, I think, it did exist in one of the like comic story arcs. So I kind of like the touch where they introduced the concept of it, even though there's no multiverse in the movie, right? And for the casual people who watch Spider-Man, they did not know much about Mysterio, because most of the trailers show him to be the next hero or so. But for a long time, fans who have knew about the villains in Spider-Man, like, if you remember the last time the Spider-Man animated TV series
mm-hmm.
intro show a few villains, right? And one of them is Mysterio.
Mysterio, yeah.
And for the
I suddenly thought of WWE Rey Mysterio.
That one
619.
That one too short. I think Spider-Man would beat the shit out of himself. I kept on like hinting to Ada. I was like, because Ada, hey, this one is he related to Doctor Strange? I said no, give it time. Because I knew where it was going, because mm-hmm. like they did not reveal him yet of his true nature. Eventually mm-hmm. they did in the mid act of the movie. So I was like, mm-hmm. there it is, there's the character. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say how Mysterio was written was pretty close to the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Mysterio in the comics as well, he's practically a special effects guy.
Yeah.
Who so called, not say betray lah, like he didn't get the opportunity when he was in his like so called Hollywood career. And in the comics, what his major crime was that he wants to frame Spider-Man for stealing something or something like that. But mm-hmm. of course, in all villains, it didn't fare too well for him because Spider-Man has his spider sense. He knows most like the things that is gonna happen to him, right? So Mysterio doesn't have much powers, but he's quite smart, mm-hmm. quite intelligent, and he's a very good special effects guy lah. That's so called his powers. Like other than that, he doesn't really have real mm-hmm. powers or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Disney, you know, Marvel was smart enough to incorporate technology as one of his like so called gimmicks to enhance mm-hmm. his like so called like fake powers. So having drones, I think it's quite a so called grounded kind of like because now drones is like everywhere. So having drones as part of his technology is kind of like a so called realistic thing they can incorporate. So I don't know, I think Jake Gyllenhaal,
I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, I think he's
but you know, like it's Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, kind of thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I think he did justice to the character, so there's nothing.
Yeah, there's like
nothing to be upset or angry about.
I agree with you. Like no matter how you put it, it's Jake Gyllenhaal being Jake Gyllenhaal, but I think he was okay.
He was okay.
He wasn't. At first, I thought it was gonna give me the Will Smith vibes, but
no,
not that bad. I guess he
another Sunbae.
What else I can remember on like the movie? One of the characters which I think I really got a kick out of it is one of the school teachers.
Which one?
Black guy.
Oh yeah, what's his name? DB Smooth.
Yeah, Mr. Dell.
Yeah, Mr. Dell.
I don't know, of all the side characters, right, the one that got me entertained the most, I think, is Mr. Dell. Like in all the scenes which involve like some of the parts where, you know, the bus having the called the rain and all that. Any scene he refers it to witchcraft. That was damn funny, especially got one of the bus ride scenes, right, where Peter Parker was using the Edith. Was it Edith, right? The specs.
Edith, yeah.
Yeah. And then the thing just put up their history on the person inside the bus, and for him, right, a long history of witchcraft. I was like, what? that got me laughing, which was pretty funny. I mean, he's definitely a slapstick character.
Yeah, he is.
And
I actually like his best friend. What's the guy's name?
The other teacher, is it? Or what?
No. His best friend, that chubby dude.
The Ned. Ned.
Ned, yes.
Mm.
Actually like his character.
So, he instantly sounds it. Then on a road trip, got a girlfriend. Then road trip.
Never even do anything on the plane straight with my girlfriend. Then when reach back home, or we are no longer together.
What? Yeah, that one.
I think he was a good choice to be like his best friend kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, he pulled off that buddy kind of scenes.
And of course, Happy. Man, I love Happy.
Yeah, let's talk about Jon Favreau a bit here, man.
Jon Favreau is a genius, like.
I don't know if you realize it, but I think in the entire movie, to me, he's the most important person in that movie.
Yeah, he's.
Let's think about this. When in the early parts of the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Fury was trying to find Peter Parker.
And he didn't want to.
And then there was Happy trying to connect things. And when Peter Parker gets hit by a train, there is Happy. Happy again, tending to his wounds and then helping him out with the new suit and giving him a pep talk. Even though he got like shouted by Peter Parker, this and that. And then when the last act of the movie, he was there trying to save the kids, even trying to throw his shield even though he can't. And then screaming, how does
Captain America shield?
Yeah, and then he started screaming, how does Captain this? I like his moments. He's like definitely, I would say he's important. Without him, right? Like he's like the when we talk about earlier about like the Crown Prince having a sidekick.
Yeah.
Peter Parker needed Happy to be around. I mean, besides the stuff going on with Aunt May,
But do you think that now, because we are moving into the phase 4 of like the MCU and all, do you think Happy will play a very important role in the MCU for phase 4?
I think he might, because if you remember Agent Coulson, the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because I don't know whether they're going to bring him into phase 4 on how he was involved in the early phases before Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. So if they were to incorporate Happy for something like Agent Coulson, like, I think it might work, because like Jon Favreau has been in there since day one. He was the one that made Iron Man possible. Plus, I mean, he has a lot of ideas for sure. I mean, he's like the director of Lion King, and he's the director for Mandalorian as well. So for him being involved in future phase 4, I think he suits.
He's a really good actor also, and he's also a very good director as well.
Yeah, he has a vision. This one, I mean, if you look at his interviews and all the Comic-Con panels, he has a vision. So for him being involved in, I definitely look forward. I don't know what exactly, in what capacity, but looking forward to see how he will be involved in it.
But I think for now, I mean, okay, talking about Spider-Man and all, I mean, this movie, it definitely played a homage to Iron Man. Like, you can see literally Iron Man is everywhere in the movie. From collages to like mansions to like, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And like now, since we like, you know, talking about spoilers and all, do you think Phase 4 will be built around Spider-Man having that same persona and character development as how Iron Man did in the first three phases? Because from Far From Home, you can see that telling you like, okay, Iron Man is gone, Spider-Man is here. Iron Man is gone, Spider-Man is here. You know?
Okay. From what I remember in the comics and the history of like Spider-Man, besides him having puberty issues,
You can see it here as well.
He is also one of the smartest characters in the Marvel landscape. I mean, he's in like I don't know whether it's like top 20 or top 10 or like,
mm-hmm.
like in that list of very smart people, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's together with guys like Black Panther. He's mm-hmm. together with this Reed Richards,
mm-hmm.
Doctor Doom, and who else? Like Iron Man, like people who are really, really smart.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And I really love the scene where when he was trying to get his new suit, when he was with Happy inside the plane,
mm-hmm.
and he was like doing like modifications to his suit, this and that. That scene, right, mm-hmm. shows his intelligence, like scientifically of what he's capable with. Mm-hmm. So in phase four, to get back to your question, is that it is possible if they were to go down the route of like him taking over the mantle as the next smart person, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can, if they choose to do so, if that is what they have the roadmap for Spider-Man. Because like, if he were to mature as a character in the MCU, having him being the forefront of people able to fix problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they can pull it off, like, if this is what Marvel chooses for him,
mm-hmm.
So in the recent comics, Spider-Man, the latest thing for Spider-Man is that he has his own company. He's also mm-hmm. a billionaire. Mm-hmm. Same exact template as Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible for them to do that. I don't know how they can do that, but if they do, I'm surprised, because it has already been done in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time and time again, the story always gets back to like Peter Parker struggling paying bills, you know, trying to be work on time, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So that so-called the recent, like in recent times, they really changed the status quo for Peter Parker being the exact opposite, successful, somebody to look up to, and like being rich. Technologically, he's very like up there together with Tony Stark. So, I mean, but I don't know, like we have seen him die once, and that mm-hmm. definitely got people emo.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're gonna do that again. Hopefully not. Like, I mean, how many times can you die before?
Do you think they would? Because the thing is, now they are saying that Sony and Marvel is sharing that character. Do you think there'll be a phase of time where Sony is like, you know what, you had enough of Spider-Man, give us back Spider-Man?
Yeah, for sure. I do feel along the line. I mean, talking about legalities, there'll be a point of time where it's either like what you said, Sony had enough of the franchise, they just want to let it go, or by contractual, it's about to end, and then if the negotiations don't go to Sony's favor, and then Disney just pops enough money, like they will just buy back. And I mean, it's a win-win. Sony gives away the franchise, they get money. Disney gains and Marvel gains something out of it. They get back one of the most endearing characters. So
I
am hopeful that will happen. Eventually, give it another couple of years.
Yeah.
Eventually they will give back. It's just that Sony, right, if they were to leave their hands without any supervision by Marvel or Disney, right, you will get Venom.
Yeah.
That's what you get. Because they don't seem to understand or want to respect the source material. That's a problem which I see, to my opinion. I could be wrong, but seriously, none of their offerings show me otherwise. When it comes mm-hmm. to Sony handling like hero movie content. So for Spider-Man, like, what else can I say? Like, I'm trying to think, like, is there any character, like, tak perlu to be inside there?
I think all the characters are justifiable to be there. It's just that, you know, like you were saying about the Mary Jane character, like, you know, being like forced in onto you as if like she's a street smart kind of thing. Now, I see, like you know, I agree with what you say, like, for Homecoming, she wasn't forced onto you. Like, you naturally, like, oh, you know, she's okay, kind of thing. But for this one, it's like, you feel like, okay, it's getting a bit too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, even the scene at the bridge, like, oh, you know, I know that you're Spider-Man, you know, because you're always missing and all, like, trying to show that, oh, I know, I'm looking, you know, kind of thing. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
The part all is, like, not necessary, actually.
Yeah, because initially when you told me on the last podcast, I was trying to understand like why you said what you said. So I watched it. I was like, I think I know why already. It's because it's not her lah. It's how they written the character for her lah. I just remembered a character that I think tak perlu to be inside. It's Dimitri. You know, the guy who drove the bus. The beard guy.
Ah, yes.
Like, what's his purpose here to be inside?
Like, I think he's just that guy in the movie. You know, like, that guy.
I even did a search on, like, I mean, is he popular or not? Like, I tried, like, kesian sel. The guy is there, and he's just there, and he serves no purpose other than to drive the bus. Drive the bus and Nick Fury, hey, Dimitri, like, go get him. I was like, huh? Like, tak important, sel. So kesian. But looking at his Rotten Tomato, he is also in Aladdin. So, I don't know.
Oh, the guy, the Dimitri guy.
Yeah, Dimitri was also in Aladdin.
He's probably like some extras in the movie or something.
I guess so. So,
you know what, the dog?
That was my dad, by the way.
Never mind, we can always edit that out. So, yeah, anyway, who else? I think pretty much character-wise, I think the annoying one was Flash Thompson for me.
Flash Thompson.
Yeah, he's constantly, like, you know, on Instagram doing like live videos, you know, the guy with the camera.
The
selfie guy. Yeah, I find him annoying. He likes Superman and then calls Peter Parker, hey, like you know, like twat. So and Elsa.
Other than that, I think there's really nothing much to cover about Spider-Man other than, you know, go watch it. I mean, like I said in the previous podcast, it was more like a moving on movie to the next phase of movies. Honestly, yeah. I can see it more like a standalone kind of movie, like, you know, like phase 3 done, phase 4 about to beginning.
About to begin,
and that movie is like right smack in the middle.
I think the end credits should have, I don't know, like,
the end credits, I expect, instead of the Skrull, you know.
It reminds me of the Captain Marvel end credits, like the cat. That one, like, huh, what? I literally, like, gives me, like, I stayed for this.
Yeah, because we are so used to the fact that you want to stay behind, or there's something big, because everybody stayed behind for Spider-Man because they want to know what exactly is going to happen in the next phase of movies. So, but in the end, it was more like there you go, Skrulls, and but yeah, I agree with you. Like, the thing that didn't work out for me in the movie is Mary Jane and the end credit. Other than that, I think the movie is fine. It's fine on its own.
The thing I want to dive into now is, like, I'm gonna pull a little bit of a stretch here. For the end credits, right, to be as what it is, the thing I'm gonna assume why they put it in such a way, because sometimes Marvel does things at most times they have a reason in doing so. Like, I don't know how long of a stretch this is, but I'm gonna assume, right, that with Nick Fury involved with the Skrull, like, as of now, the current situation on how they are inserting like Skrulls into the MCU, I'm not really digging it yet, but if they were to write it, and if I think the direction they are going into is maybe going into Secret Invasions, where Secret Invasions, basically, like, you already see the Skrulls shape-shifting, right? So for if like a full-on Secret Invasion where the Skrulls have already invaded Earth and they already put their sleeper agents everywhere, including like including impersonating like heroes, this and that. So in the Secret Invasion, right? Nick Fury did organize a Secret Avengers strike force, like mostly consisting of like very young heroes. So I don't know whether Phase 4 will go into that direction, because right now confirmed details are not out yet. So if that will be the case, and talking about young heroes, the only young hero I can think of right now is actually Spider-Man. So he's the youngest among all of them. So I don't know if Phase 4 is gonna go down there.
I've never digged into it yet, so I don't really know what is it about, but
because in that Secret Invasions does involve guys from X-Men, then I can't remember whether Fantastic Four was also involved, but it was a cosmic, not really cosmic, it's semi-cosmic, because it involves another species invading. That's why they introduced the idea a little bit in Marvel as well. So we see how, because right now they need to have a new ultimate back, because Thanos has been the impending doom for the longest time. So far,
what is the villain that has appeared so far? I mean, the previous podcast I did mention can be one of the potential.
Which guy was you mentioned?
I was saying remember when the previous podcast we were saying about like, oh, there's a possibility that I say that the villain might be a multiverse villainous self of them or Norman Osborn. But the thing is, Norman Osborn is possible.
Okay, like for Thanos, right, being the villain that he, the level of threat, right, is a very grand scale. And right now, the only, like, if you want to introduce, this is my opinion, introducing Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin, he's a great villain, but he's not on an epic scale kind of a villain. Like, he's maybe just under Ultron or somewhere there, because so far villains we have Loki, we have Ultron, and we have Thanos and his Black Order, like that. So for Thanos to be at that level, right, they could maybe try to introduce Annihilus, so they can introduce the Annihilation story. You know, remember. Rashid had this very thick hardcover. Yes, that story up. That one they can introduce like Nova, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy had the Nova Corps, right?
Yeah.
So they can introduce characters like Richard Rider, like the Nova Corps. It's like a Marvel version of Green Lantern. So like a space cop like that. So they can introduce him, so they can bring in villains like Annihilus, because for Nova, the direct so-called girlfriend at one point of time is actually Gamora. So the characters are there. So they can introduce bit by bit, if they choose to do so. So again, X-Men also has involved themselves in space, so I don't know how they're gonna incorporate. Because I really want to see X-Men. The moment I see X-Men, and they, if let's say they play the soundtrack, and I think I will cry. I will lose my mind. The things that Fox does to X-Men, cancer to me.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to talk about Dark Phoenix, we can save it for another...
For the Rose segment.
Yes, I cannot tell you how... I wouldn't say disgust. Disgust is a hard word, but the things that I don't like, how Fox handles their X-Men. So, but never mind.
But the other day, I was reading an article related to like the MCU and whatnot. So we have found out who is the so-called the new villain in the next phase of Marvel. Like not the main, like the big villain, like, you know, how powerful Thanos is, but like, you know, like those like Ultron and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Black Widow's movie.
Oh, is it?
Taskmaster.
Yeah, Taskmaster, yeah.
Yeah.
So, looking forward lah, because Taskmaster, he looks like Skeletor, but only white color.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's interesting to see how they put him into the movie, because basically his powers, he can predict any of your moves and copy them. That's his power. So he fights with a shield and a sword. And I don't know, that'd be interesting. And how they're gonna introduce back Black Widow. I mean, she's, spoiler alert, she's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that. But when is it releasing? I can't remember.
I think it's next year.
Oh, is it next year? Oh, nice.
Is it next year? I think it's next year because they're already filming it.
Ah, okay.
Maybe mid next year also.
Right, coming back to Spider-Man, pretty much I think that's it for what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you think you want to highlight on?
I think that's pretty much it. We cannot really dive much into it anymore until what's the next Marvel movie that's going to come?
Oh man, I frankly speaking, I don't know. Other than the Chen Black Widow movie, I don't know any other plans that is confirmed. Maybe Black Panther 2, I don't know. Guardians 3, I think, I don't know. What else? As far as Avengers is concerned, no plans yet.
No plans yet, yeah, exactly.
That's why...
I think Avengers was a... Avengers Endgame was like the ending of it.
Finale,
yeah. Because so far, I think the confirmed movie for the next phase is like Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. But all the in between movies, we don't. I mean, Black Widow. Then there's one Asian superhero. What's his name?
Shang-Chi.
That was also rumored as well. So we just have to wait and see, lah.
Yeah. But I just got this like. Train of thought. The hero I think that is due to shift over to MCU, I think I should give to Daredevil. The guy has been busting his chops on Netflix, right? I think it's about time he transfer over to MCU. Daredevil.
Oh yes.
I
think that would be an interesting one.
I think he deserves to be there. You know, the amount of effort. I mean, out of like all the Marvel series on Netflix, I think Daredevil is the most well done. I mean, Iron Fist was boring. Iron Fist,
that was just bad.
I tried to go through the first two episodes. It was already a struggle. I thought it was slow. I thought it was quite boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, even though he's the main actor was involved in Game of Thrones before, but still it did not help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so what's this guy's name? Charlie Cox, something. That's,
is
yeah.
It?
Yeah, COX, Charlie Cox.
Yeah, Cox.
Sunbei.
Master Sunbei of Cox.
Yeah. All right, so Spider-Man, I think pretty much we are coming to the end of the talk for the movie. Anybody who hasn't watched it, if you actually stayed on, you have been spoiled pretty much 90% of it.
Yeah.
But for those who don't care about spoilers, I think it's a good popcorn movie. It's a good popcorn movie which doesn't require you to think so much. You just watch it, and it's a funny movie. It has its moments.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to stress about like, oh.
Yeah. If you have not watched any previous Marvel movies, you don't really have to. Like,
if you haven't watched any previous Marvel movie, so yeah.
Yeah, like the only like, I mean, Iron Man. I mean, if you don't know him as what he has done, you probably know who Iron Man is. So that's all you need going into this movie. So you don't have to think about anybody else.
Yep.
Or you can always wait for online viewing. Either that. I'll give it a flat 8 for out of 10.
Yeah.
So pretty much that's it. For Spider-Man Far From Home 2019. Spoiler filled podcast.